Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
Right, and we look forward to bringing this service today. First of all, we'll start off by thanking all of you who have been sending in your wonderful donations, and thank you so much for that. And we hope that we continue to provide a service that makes it so that you enjoy these services we're doing, and we look forward to that. So we'll get started with Pamela.
Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who seek to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now we'll affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now it's time for our daily word reading. The daily word for Sunday, October the 11th. The key word is prosperity, and the affirmation is, I am prosperous as I enjoy my daily blessings. I am comfortable with the person I see in the mirror as I begin my day. I'm filled with energy and enthusiasm for my work, my recreation, time with family or friends, or time for learning and reflection. My gratitude grows throughout the day as I take part in activities I enjoy and spend time with people I care about. As I prepare for sleep, I am grateful for the blessings of a day well lived. More than money or possessions, prosperity is an awareness of well-being. My ability to enjoy simple blessings. I strengthen my prosperity consciousness as I bless and appreciate my home, my friends and family, and my work. I increase the flow of abundance by sharing my time, talents, and treasure in service to others. And the scripture reading is from Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And now we will have our message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we are continuing with this series called Practicing the Principles in Uncertain Times. We're out there at part five for those who may just be joining us. And, you know, it's I say this every week, but I think I could say it a zillion times before we all can really get it. And this is that this life experience for us is we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And it's very important for us to understand that, because if we begin to grasp that idea that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, eventually it'll help us to move the ideas that we're learning, the principles we're learning, from our intellect and more into our spirit. Because we're not going to be able to live them unless we can move them into our spirit. And as we, you know, move through this process, these these principles are getting, you know, more and more challenging. For example, I'd love to know how many of you are still pondering the subtitle from last week's lesson, which is how to be at ease with life itself. And then also that third secret from the book, The Prayer Chest, you know, that third secret ingredient, which is welcome whatever you experience, because everything that comes into your life is part and parcel of the answer to your prayer. Okay. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's a brain full to think about, all right, this idea of welcoming everything that comes into your life because it's part and parcel of the prayer that you've been praying, all right? So it's saying that, you know, we're being groomed for the answer to the prayer. So it's sort of the dynamic of that. So in this lesson, I'm acknowledging how to challenge and downright, how challenging and downright difficult It can be to implement these spiritual ideas into our daily thinking and living. And that's the key. It's not just that we're hearing them and we get to a place where we know them, but are we implementing them into our daily life, you know? And the subtitle to today's thing is, you know, it's tapping into the other side of the veil, tapping into the other side of the veil. Last week we talked about the veil. Those who just may be joining us, you know, the veil is this idea when Jesus was crucified, and they said the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And the veil is what's separating the ego realm, the ego side of our being, from the spiritual side of our being. And I'm saying, said last week, that veil is made up of our emotional fears and whatnot that are blocking us from making that transition from ego to spirit. So today we're going to talk about how do we tap into the other side of the veil. Right? And so much of what is happening in our lives, especially now, can leave us bewildered, wondering, why am I going through this? And in today's world, we're collectively asking, why are we going through this? Okay, we, you know, this being the coronavirus, racial unrest, floods, fires, and the incomprehensible political turmoil that's going on. Okay, and that, you know, that's one of the most dominant things in the news right now, is the craziness that's going on, you know, from a political standpoint. So this is all causing us to individually and collectively ask, when will it end? Okay, now, the purpose of this series of lessons is to help us prepare ourselves to be able to practice the principles we are learning in these uncertain times, because we have no idea when all of this will end, all right? So we want to be prepared to live from love instead of fear, from courage and strength instead of weakness and defeat, and from faith instead of despair. All right, so that's the process. So it's not a process of, or the question of when is it going to end, because we have no control over that. There are so many things going on that even as we try to get involved in this thing and that thing, you know, it's almost like what's that game where you're you know, the things pop up and you're hitting it with an, what's that called? You know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's like a game and the thing pops up. You hit that one down, another one pops up. And that's sort of what it's like now. So, you know, we can put a lot of energy in trying to solve one thing, but then there's other things that, you know, that are out there that are challenging us. So the key then is I have to be able to prepare myself to be able to deal with all this that's going on. And last week we explored the idea of how great spiritual masters have gained the ability to enter into the consciousness beyond the consciousness during meditation. And consciousness beyond consciousness being the realm of spirit beyond the realm of ego, with the two divided by the great veil of human fears and emotions. So that's what's keeping us from making that transition from where we are to really the truth of ourselves, which is veiled from us right now. So from a simplistic perspective, we have the innate divine ability to enter into the consciousness beyond the consciousness, meaning we have the ability to cross through the veil, okay? The method being both simple and complex at the same time. Simple, because we can enter the realm of spirit through the practice of being still, okay? Do I say that every week? Yes, I say that every week. Because that's the key. Stillness being, according to the revealing word, a mental state of inner peace, rest, and tranquility where our senses are quieted in the realization of the presence of God. Okay, let me say that again. So this idea of stillness is a mental state of infinite peace, rest, and tranquility, where our senses are quieted in the realization of the presence of God, okay? So here is a complex secret known by the ancient ones. You know, this is that complex secret known by the ancient ones, and those who are Greg Braden fans say this is what he always calls it, you know, the secret of the ancient ones. And it is that you must be able to enter into the stillness, the prayer, the meditation, here it is, with pure intent, okay? Now, a paraphrase from the dictionary definition of pure intent is Freedom, now listen carefully, from the mixture of higher level intentions with lower level intentions. For example, you cannot have pure intent if in your mind you're mixing thoughts of faith, higher level intent, with thoughts of fear, lower level of, levels of intent. You get what I'm saying? So if you're, you know, trying to practice faith, but, you know, under the tone of your mind, so to speak, you still have these fears, you can't work from pure intent in that dimension. That's not pure intent. So pure intent is real, genuine, authentic in its focus, all right? So when you have pure intent, you are truly focused on living and being from this divine principle, okay? You're in the silence for God, knowing that God knows who you are and what you are about, all right? So pure intent is you really don't have to go into the silence and start telling God all the things that are going on with you. You can do it if you want, okay? But pure intent is knowing that God knows who you are and knows what you are about. Now, God being the underlying truth that will give you the peace and patience to be at ease no matter what is occurring in your life. Okay? So pure intent allows you to pass through the veil of fearful emotions and tap into the other side, the realm of spirit. Now, it may only last for the time that you spend in the silence. You get what I'm saying? So when you get into the silence, if you go into the silence with pure intent, just to know and be with God, okay? In that moment, you will be able to tap into that other side. But like I said, it may only last for the time that you are in the silence, okay? But being on the other side of the veil allows you to bask in the realm of infinite potential without the confusion of doubt, fear, and worry, all right? So no matter what's going on in your life, if you take that time to enter into the stillness and you can do it with pure intent, meaning my intent is just to be with God, okay? Not asking for anything, you know, not telling anything that's going on with you, just that pure intent is just to be with God. It'll give you, even if it's a nanosecond, to tap into that other side, okay, into the realm of infinite potential, without the confusion of, you know, doubt, fear, and worry, that will give you a sense of peace when you come out of that meditation, okay? Now, in the ministers' conference, we had a wonderful ministers' conference last week organized by our own April May. She did an absolutely incredible job because she had to convert a regular face-to-face conference to a virtual conference, you know, the first time ever, and she did an awesome job with that, all right? But in the ministers' conference, there was some discussion, a lot of discussion about using spiritual principle with the expectation of specific outcomes within specific time frames, all right? The problem is that the linear expectation of specific outcomes within specific time frames turns pure intent into passive intent, okay? Now, passive intent is trying a little bit of this and a little bit of that, hoping something will work out. And if none of that works out, then you'll try a little bit of something else. That's passive intent. The reason why we do that, well, let me try a little bit of this, let me try a little bit of that, and let me see if any, well, what it will work out here, is because typically in passive intent, in our mind, we already have decided what the specific outcome we're looking for within a specific time frame. You get what I'm saying? So passive intent is not pure intent. Pure intent, all you're doing is you're working with, communing with God, all right? God being that which knows who you are and what you're all about. That's pure intent. Passive intent is you're looking here, you're looking here, you're trying to do all these different things, trying to figure out, okay, how can I get myself spiritual? How can I get myself centered, you know? And all of that, you got this specific idea in mind of what that looks like. So pure intent, you have no idea in mind of anything but being with God. Passive intent, you're trying to be with God or be spiritual or be whatever you're trying to be, but you're trying to do it by trying this and trying that and trying this and trying that. And the reason why you keep jumping from one thing to we keep jumping from one thing to another is because we're not getting the result we're looking for. Okay, so we're always doing things looking for results. That's passive intent. Passive intent limits and or blocks the infinite potential of God's ideas from entering into our thought. Okay? Because we are so fixed on what it is we want to happen, we are blocking the infinite potential of God ideas from entering into our thought. Okay? So let me bring up a slide on pure intent. Okay? So pure intent moves you out of your house and into God's house, the realm of infinite potentiality, on the other side of the veil. On the other side of the veil, you own your own divinity. Now listen carefully. And when you own your own divinity, you're capable of doing the work of God for yourself. And this is what God wants for us. That is to be the Christ that we are. Okay? So that's the dynamic behind this, right? Is that when you can tap into the other side of the veil, you can do that work for yourself because we have the divine potential within us, okay? You know, and as we said in last week's lesson, it is the divine from the spiritual side of the veil looking over at us. So the divine from the spiritual side of the veil is looking over us at us, and it's saying, you know, looking over to the emotional side of the veil, and it's saying, hey, what are you doing? Don't you know that you are the Christ? Okay? So we're saying, God, please help me. And God's saying, but you're the Christ. You can do for yourself what you're asking me to do for you if you would just realize who you really are. Okay? And there are no boundaries for your courage and your faith when you come to understand who you really are in truth. There are no boundaries to your courage and your faith when you come to realize who you really are in truth, okay? So these are the words we each need to remember when we become discouraged by what life has presented us, okay? And in keeping with the third prayer secret that we talked about last week, welcome whatever you experience. It is very possible that things happen in our lives just to help us keep in front of our mind that there is no boundaries to our courage and our faith. In other words, these things are happening because they want them to know. These things are happening in our lives because it wants us to know that there's no boundaries to our courage and our faith. Because as a spiritual being, I am limitless. As a spiritual being, I am limitless. Say that with me, okay? There are no boundaries to my courage and faith. Because as a spiritual being, I am limitless, okay? And I'm not negating the courage and faith we are demonstrating right now in our everyday lives. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not negating the courage and faith that we're demonstrating right now in our everyday lives. Just think about how much you have to juggle and figure out on a daily basis. Things happen, you know, that are a little bit outside of your purview. You may hesitate for a moment, and then with practice ease, you kick up your level of courage and faith, and you forge right through the challenges before you. I mean, don't you? Haven't you experienced yourself doing that? Okay? Now, granted, many of the challenges we step up to are at least within our field of experiences and knowledge, even though maybe just a little bit outside of what we're used to dealing with. But once we get our focus back after being knocked for a loop before by this unusual thing that came up in our lives, once we get our focus back, usually we will forge ahead and meet the problem or challenge with courage and faith. And quite often we may not even give a second thought to the effort required to overcome the problem or challenge, okay? Because we've developed a method of strengthening ourselves up and stepping forward to do that which we need to do. That is something we have proven over and over in our lives. But then there are those times when we're hit with something that is completely outside of our field of experience and knowledge. And we are thrown into a psychological and emotional quagmire, right, from which we have no idea how to get ourselves out of. Something happens that's so far outside of our normal daily routine, outside of our intellectual posturing, that we're caught off balance and thrown into an emotional loop, okay? However, to the credit of humanity, to the credit of the human race, we have seen examples during catastrophes like we're going through now of ordinary people performing extraordinary acts of courage, you know? You get what I'm saying. You see it on the news all the time, right? And these floods and these fires, situations on the street. I mean, we're seeing where people are stepping up and doing absolutely incredible things, all right? We heard, you know, the stories on the news, you know, where the reporter would ask, you know, we interviewing somebody, says, how did you do it? You know, what were you thinking? And the person will answer, I don't know how I did it, and I don't know what I was thinking, you know, right? So for every one of us listening to this message, it is during those times when we unconsciously allow ourselves to be pushed beyond our limits that we tap into the other side of the veil. Did that make sense? Okay. So when we allow that to happen, something comes up in our lives that's beyond our knowledge base of how to deal with that. We allow ourselves, though, to be pushed forward and work our way through whatever that thing was. That's when we allowed ourselves to tap inside into the other side of the veil. That's why we may answer and say, I don't know how I did it. I don't know what I was thinking. Because the other side of the veil is a language we're not used to. But once we get it, okay, we can translate it into what we know, what to do. So in 1 Samuel 17th chapter, we read the story of David and Goliath. And to put this in perspective, Goliath represents the overwhelming fear we experience on the ego side of the veil. Okay, David represents the incredible courage and faith we pull from the spiritual side of the veil when we need it. It's the story I was just saying to you, okay? So we get a Goliath in our lives if we are open and receptive to surrendering to, you know, to God's intuitive ideas that come to us. That's when we're pulling from the other side of the veil, the spiritual side of the veil, in order to give us the courage and faith to work through the Goliath in our life, all right? So the Metaphysical Bible explains that this Bible story emphasizes the fact that not all challenges are the same. Some fall right within our ability to deal with them, but others, like Goliath, display themselves prominently, confronting us with fearful threats of disaster. Okay, the Goliath threat is different for each one of us. Okay, but even though we each may have our own Goliath, our own frightening experience, listen carefully, our David is the same. Our Goliath is different, but our David is the same. Because David is referred to as a type of Christ, and that is what we are, a type of Christ. This means each one of us is expressing our inner Christ to the best of our ability. And with, you know, everything that we think, within everything we think, say, and do, there is the Christ striving to give us a glimpse of the other side of the veil. But what causes us to become afraid and lose our courage and faith is that for the most part, we have allowed our material thought to have mastery and dominion over our spiritual thought, which keeps us on the emotional side of the veil. All right? Now think about that logically. Our material thought, we have given mastery and dominion over our spiritual thought, meaning you get a spiritual idea to help you through a challenging situation, but your material side of your mind, your ego side of your mind, your fearful side of your mind says, oh, no, I can't do that. Okay, that is the challenge that we're having that's keeping us from pulling the information we need from the other side of the veil. So the other overcoming of Goliath by David illustrates the mastery of the material side of ourselves over, the spiritual side of ourselves over the material. And that's what we want to get to. We want to get to a place where we are spiritually stronger than the material dynamics of ourselves, right? Now notice the phrase, mastery of the spiritual over the material. This indicates that some significant work with pure intent, please don't forget those two words, pure intent, was completed to switch our most dominant thought process from material to spiritual. So we had to do some work on ourselves. We are doing work on ourselves. I believe that everybody listening to this lesson has been doing work on themselves. So we're doing this work on ourselves to get our spiritual thought to be dominant over our material thought. And that is what David represents. So in David's case, when he went out to face Goliath, he was sure of himself. Because as a shepherd, he had slain the lion and the bear that tried to kill his sheep. All right. So David had been doing the work, right, before stepping out there in front of Goliath. He'd been doing the work on a daily basis, protecting his sheep from the lion and the bear. Okay. Now, the lion and the bear symbolize the beast within us, meaning those fearful thoughts within us that take away our peace, our joy, our courage, our faith. And David confronted and killed those beasts daily to protect his sheep. Now, just look at the metaphysics of that, okay? So metaphysically, sheep represent the natural life that flows into our consciousness from spirit. The natural life is that which flows from God to let us know that we are spiritual beings with the capacity to overcome every adversity. However, if you do not confront and kill the beast, negative, fearful thoughts that would destroy and eat the sheep, the natural life, fear, the beast, will consume all of your spiritual thoughts, leaving you hopelessly in fear and defeat. Okay? So it's important to us to understand, like some, I know people, you know, I kind of know who they are, who don't like the idea of kill, okay? But it's important to understand that the word kill, as it is used here, metaphysically means to transmute, all right? So transmute means to change from one form to another. So in this case, those fearful thoughts within us that take away our peace, our joy, and our courage, and our faith are transmuted into the natural life that is of God, okay? So remember, everything is of God. Everything is of God. However, we have a tendency to transmute God energy into our own beast, meaning those things we have come to fear. So let me say it again. So everything is of God, all right? All is God energy. How we choose to use that energy is another story. So what I'm saying here is that we have a tendency a lot of times to change God energy into our own beast, meaning those things that we come to fear. So our job is to be like David. Instead of transmuting God energy into beast, things we fear, we will work daily to transmute beast, things we fear, into the natural life that flows into our consciousness. And that's what we want more. We want more of that natural life, okay, that's constantly flowing in our consciousness. And as this natural life flows into our consciousness, it becomes mighty soul strength. Mighty soul power, all right? You get that? So if you are doing the work, you know, fear comes up, you say, oh, that's the lion and the bear, okay? I want to transmute that into the natural life, into sheep, as they say, but in that sheep meaning into the natural life. And by doing that, you know, just say to yourself, by doing that, by transmuting this fear, this worry, this doubt, this anxiety that I'm feeling, by transmuting it into the natural life, I am gaining mighty soul strength and mighty soul power. So the more we protect the natural life that flows into us, the stronger spiritually we become. And the stronger spiritually we become, the less intimidated we are by the Goliath that tries to defeat us. Okay? Now, listen to this. This again is 1 Samuel 17:4. And I'm not going to put up a slide because I want you to kind of just get this vision in your mind. You know? So there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion called Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. You know, I had to look that up, right? That's 9 feet, 9 3/4 feet tall. Okay. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, that's about 125 pounds, and had greaves of bronze upon his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders, and the shaft of the spear was like a weaver's beam, And can you imagine how big that was, right? And the head weighed 600 shekels of iron, which is 136 pounds. And his shield bearer went before him, and he stood, and he shouted to the ranks of the Israel. Now listen carefully. He said, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle?" Basically saying, "You knew I was here, so why did you even come out?" All right? I mean, that's how, you know, braggadocious he was. So in summary, this was a scary dude, right? And how many of you had to face a metaphorical challenge like this in your lifetime? I bet you if we were in live, you may be raising your hands, okay? So the power of Goliath seems to have existed primarily in his ability to frighten the Israelites by his sheer size, all right? So Goliath was so bodacious that he wondered why the Israelites had ever bothered to show up, knowing that he was there. And sometimes life can be the same with us, okay? Certain situations or circumstances show up in our lives, and we are so frightened, so discouraged, that despite our prayer work and our spiritual preparation, we succumb to our fear. We succumb to our Goliath. And as incredible as this story sounds, this is a perfect example of how some things that challenge us will taunt us, saying, "You think you're going to use those puny, weak little spiritual principles against me?" You get what I'm saying? Right? Some of them come up so overwhelming that it's like it's taunting you and say, "You can't use spiritual principles against me." And that's what basically Goliath was saying, you know? So how do we respond to those challenges? More specifically, how should we respond? Well, let's look at how David handled it, okay? So it explains in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, Goliath trusted in his fearsome size and armor, which represents the intimidating illusion of the protective power of matter and material conditions. David's spiritual strength had no armor or material protection. His power was gained by his faith in divine intelligence, through which David saw the weak place in Goliath's armor, and using his sling, David directed a stone at this weak spot, all right? Meaning using his concentrated will, pure intent, he sent a thought that shattered the forehead of the giant, all right? So that's the key to this process, you know? When you shatter the forehead of the giant, okay, that circumstance or situation, you know, the challenge that, you know, that thing that was challenging your faith, you know, challenging your peace, challenging your joy, you transmute that negative fearful energy back into its original state, which is the natural life that strengthens and makes mighty your soul. But to keep up, you know, keep us from falling into fear when Goliath appears in our lives, we must realize on a daily basis that even though it seems that it is our, you know, it is our intellect that is battling and overcoming the lion and the bears, you know what I'm saying? You know, you're doing your thing and you're saying, "Well, this is me, and I'm overcoming these lions and the bears." You know, it is not. It's not, okay? Every time you overcome something, you take, you know, you get all, you know, proud that you did it. It was not you. You have to remember what Jesus said in John 5:19. "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself," all right? And in John 15:5, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing," all right? We do not want to stay in the habit of relying on our intellect, believing we of ourselves can handle all the situations in our lives. Why? Because it builds the illusion that our personal strength is greater than our spiritual strength, all right? And even though that might, you know, it might sound great to the ego, you know, the ego loves the fact that, you know, you can figure out all the things in life and take care of all the things in its life. It only holds up as long as what we have to deal with falls within the limits of what we know to be possible, okay? Right now, there's a lot of things going on that might seem impossible to us, you know? And why? Because we are looking at it from our, you know, our little intellect and trying to figure out these massive worldwide problems, All right? So instead, we want to develop the habit of constantly being still to hear what our divine inner guidance has to say. Why? Because that it builds our spiritual strength. And when something happens that's outside of the limits of our intellectual knowledge, it doesn't matter. Because we will know with every fiber of our being that with God, you can say it with me, all things are possible. And finally, this lesson can be very well construed as a possible candidate for the fourth secret ingredient in the prayer book, the book, thank you, hon, Prayer Chest, okay? Because in that book, the character Joseph, who in that book, he wrote the fourth prayer secret into blank pages of Malachi's notebook. But the secret was not revealed in the prayer book itself. So in other words, it left us, the reader, to determine the fourth secret, what it could be, okay? So I'm going to end with by starting the stating the three prayer secrets we have studied, and then we're going to paraphrase that fourth secret from Matthew 19:26 and Mark 10:27 as a possible candidate for that fourth prayer secret, which was not revealed in the book itself. Okay, so let me bring this up. Right, and so, and you can actually say these with me because they basically are like affirmations. All right, so number one, I am a willing instrument through which the answer to my prayers will flow. Number two, I will still my mind and listen to God for the answer to my prayer. Number three, with faith and courage, I will welcome whatever I experience, knowing everything that comes into my life is part and parcel of the answer to my prayer. Okay, go to the next one. All right, now, so here's one we're making up. Okay, that's not in the book. Okay, from the perception of my limited intellect, this challenge, this obstacle, this Goliath may seem impossible, but I know this is not so with God, because from my Christ self, I know with absolute certainty that with God, all things are possible. And so it is. All right. And thank you for that. Amen. And we will now have meditation with Pamela.
So let's begin this moment now with taking in a deep breath and settling in to begin our coming ye apart a while journey. Take in another deep breath, focusing your mind on the rising and lowering of your chest and the expansion and contraction of your lungs. What a miracle breathing is. We don't have to make ourselves breathe. It's a natural part of our physiology. One more time, take a deep breath in and out. Closing your eyes or shifting your gaze downward if you wish to do so. In this quiet time of reflection, take a moment to relax your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. Allow your day to slow down as you take these next few moments to become centered and to breathe. As you follow your breath, let go. Quiet your thoughts by simply acknowledging them and letting them drift by. You can say silently, "Thank you, God," or simply think the word peace and allow your mind to rest as the still small voice within comes into your awareness. Thoughts of prosperous living, gratitude, and abundance in all forms flow through you now. Feelings of peace and plenty, a rich and abundant life wash over you. Let life itself breathe you. It loves you. It prospers you. Your thoughts and feelings go deeper into the still small voice within as it guides you to your highest good. Prosperity is yours as you let go and trust God completely for the good desires of your heart. Abundant good is flowing to you, through your positive words and thoughts and actions. You are now in the flow of life. You move easily with the flow. Enjoy in gratitude. You enthusiastically say yes to your good. Now let us gently move into the secret place of the Most High, our place of peace, love, joy, and faith. We settle in and we wait on Spirit. We do thank you, gracious Spirit, that you've heard our prayers this morning and you've answered them as you always do. Take another deep breath in and gently move back into your surroundings, free from fear and concern, moving forward in the flow of life, unhurried and unworried, one with the flow, you open the way of infinite blessings of Spirit. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit, for your presence in our lives. We give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Han. So this is the time when we take up our offering, a time when we, you know, check into our own hearts and think about all the good that has flowed into our lives and what we are willing to let flow into our spiritual home to continue the work that's being done. With that in mind, let me just put on our thing. We can say this together. Together,
we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings. As they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And just to let you know, those who may be joining us for the first time, you can always give through PayPal through the Tithely app, T-I-T-H-L-E-Y. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many have been using that lately. And also you can, you know, send a check directly to our address, which you can find on our website, and there's a donate button right on the website itself. So again, we thank you for all of your wonderful donations. And now we have a few light notes.
Yes, light notes for Sunday, October 11th. This Wednesday, October the 14th, is the start of another Wednesday discussion group, Weathering the Storm. We are using the Unity booklet, Weathering the Storm, along with Unity tools such as meditation, affirmations, and more, to cope with the times that we find ourselves in. The booklet link, as well as a Zoom link to access the discussion group, are available in the e-newsletter and in the weekly update. Next Sunday, October the 18th, at our Zoom fellowship time, it is our Fall Music Sunday. The theme is Fields of Gold, and we have our musical friends Safi and Tapora to share some amazing music with a focus on releasing and letting go. Please join us at 10:30 for our message and meditation via Zoom, immediately followed by Fall Music Sunday. The Zoom link for the Music Fellowship is the same as for the Sunday service. Throughout the month of October, we are celebrating our 29th anniversary as a spiritual community by supporting the Bowie Food Pantry. We're asking everyone who is able to make a $29 donation designated to the Bowie Food Pantry. They're not doing Thanksgiving food baskets for area families and are instead focusing on gift cards, and we would love to support them in that endeavor.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, yeah. All right, so are we ready to bless the path?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's bless the path that we each will walk this week. Let's say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. So it's been wonderful bringing you this service. We hope everybody has a wonderful week coming up, right?
Right.
All right.
And we will see you in the Zoom room.
Yes, if you have not joined us in Zoom, please do so. We have great music, great discussion. Last week we had a great discussion about the talk itself. If there's some things in the lesson that you know you'd like to discuss some more, or just things going on in your life that you'd like to get some perspective on, that's been a wonderful time in the Zoom link. So please do join us. We look forward to having you being part of that.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
See you next soon.
Bye-bye.